welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having an absolutely terrific day. It's been amazing down here in Florida. The weather's been about the high 60s every morning, pushing up to about the mid to low 80s in the afternoon, which has been absolutely incredible for us after we dealt with that scorching furnace all summer long. So just thought I'd throw a little bit of my Florida weather into you guys today. How are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, Austin, it's pretty nice up here. It's about 70 degrees, but it got pretty cold. It got down in the low 30s, but we're heading back home on Saturday, so I'll be back in Florida enjoying the good weather. I just about had enough of the 30 degree and having ice on the bird bath in the morning up here, so I'm about done with this. So, yeah, we got a lot of fun. By the way, some of you guys are already calling in for the questions, and we've already got you on hold for today because we're doing a live call-in show starting a quarter after. So just bear with us, and we'll give out the phone number here in just a minute. In fact, also can give it out whenever he wants. And you guys, please do me a favor. When we start taking phone calls in about 14 minutes, keep them really, really, really succinct. Don't give us your medical history. Don't give us your last name. Don't start reading your doctor's report. Just say, I've got a problem with, you know, high blood pressure. What do I do? There you go. Or I've got a problem with, you know, depression. What do I do? I've got a problem with, you know, adult onset diabetes. What do I do? Those kind of questions. And they work a lot better. And I know you want to give us your medical history. A lot of you do, but that's really confidential information you're putting out over the airwaves, and don't really want you to do that. And we want to take as many phone calls as we possibly can today. So when we start taking the calls in about 12 minutes or so, I want you guys to just get ready real quick, in and out. And guys, thank you. We're looking forward to this interaction with you folks today. And if it works out real well today, we may start doing it Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and may start doing it every single week, which I think we will. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. But let's start off with a couple of interesting things here about what's happening. We had a big sell-off in China and in Japan again today. Another huge drop in the markets. It was moderated in Europe, where it's more closely controlled with the Rothschild boys. And now we basically have a minimal sell-off here in the United States today. So that's been good. So I like that. By the way, bear stock is now crashing after the verdict was upheld by the judge. Analysis estimates it's going to cost Monsanto and now Bayer $800 billion in future liabilities. That's almost $1 trillion. That would actually bankrupt Bayer. Now, I'm assuming that Bayer put stop gaps in place and only assumed certain amounts of liability exposure, but we want Roundup off the market. Growing uncertainty about whether San Francisco Superior Judge Suzanne Bolanos would rule in favor against Bayer's appeal of the Monsanto's cancer verdict were resolved Tuesday morning as the judge upheld the jury's decision that glyphosate-based weed killer Roundup sold by Monsanto caused the California man's terminal cancer, that Monsanto intentionally hid its dangers. The news spread quickly and caused an immediate crash in Bayer's stock value. Thank you. Sending in a powerful message to the agrochemical company and industry, they are legally and financially responsible for the adverse effects caused by their unscrupulously marketed products, despite receiving a regulatory pass from the government agencies like the EPA, USDA, and FDA that have traditionally acted as the industry cheerleaders. The judge decided to reduce the punitive damage award from the total of $289 million following a verdict reached earlier this month to $78 million, which is still huge, following a decision which concerned jurors who decided the higher award amount needed to send a clear message to Monsanto. The good news is that this ruling affirms the company's liability for causing illness from their product and opens the door to multiple lawsuits, and now over 5,000 lawsuits. Guys, it's going to be a pretty big deal with these guys, and so it's going to be an $800 billion future liability, according to this article that I'm reading. And I hope and I pray, Austin, that this gets everybody's attention. This is what happened back in the 80s. When everybody started suing the vaccine manufacturers for autism and learning disabilities, and the vaccine manufacturers basically said, we can't produce these products because they're so darn dangerous and they're causing so many brain problems and autism problems without government intervention and giving us full blanket immunity to do this, which allows us to escape from any liability issue that we may incur, which also allows us to make a lot of money and not properly test products and still have blanket immunity. That was egregious. It was a horrible mistake for the Reagan administration to do that. And I'm so happy, Austin, that Monsanto is being held accountable, because, again, this is going to be Bayer now, and Bayer's got some deep pockets. but they don't have $1 trillion in deep pockets. And I really hope and I pray that this thing continues to snowball in them, because I'm seeing more and more attorneys now putting ads on TV, starting class action lawsuits against Monsanto. This product needs to go away. Glyphosate needs to go away. It needs to be completely and totally stopped. The cost of producing this product needs to be so high, Austin, that they're not going to be willing to produce it, nor will anybody else pick it up. It's one of those things that needs to be no more. We're not going to put up with this anymore. By the way, there was a really good article, too, that was written by Kennedy. And it says, this was but last month, it says, Bayer needs more than an aspirin to cure its Monsanto-size headaches. In a special telephone meeting on August 23rd, Bayer's AE CEO Werner Bauermann tried to reassure German conglomerate's principal shareholders, who were concerned about the recent drop in the company's stock. Bayer's stock fell dramatically after unfavorable verdict against Bayer's St. Louis subsidiary Monsanto. So guys, this is going to continue going on. Guys, don't use glyphosate. Please don't use it on anything. Some selective herbicides are bad enough, but this product just kills everything, including your gut and everything else that you get around it, and it causes all kinds of different cancers, and it really, really, really needs to be avoided 100% of the time. Austin, what do you think?
Well said. This is exceptional. We've seen this happen. This is, again, only the tip of the iceberg of where we're starting with this. Now, one thing I need everybody to do right now is to start forwarding this news along with other glyphosate and GMO information to anybody you know, including this show. Send it to people that basically may not be fully aware of what's going on right now. This has to get a snowball effect. We have to start getting the general population to wake up to the glyphosate and also to the genetically modified food that is being put on everybody's plate. This is why I've told you guys for years it's so important to support the non-GMO organic market. The fact that this is now coming to mainstream spotlight, and there's nobody now that can deny this because the judge ruled and upheld this ruling, which I am so glad, I am thankful for, that this judge really held her ground and did not cave in. Because remember, a couple weeks ago, they were talking about the judge wasn't sure if she was going to overrule the jury, so forth. This is really big. Glyphosate is just the tip of the iceberg. We have dicamba. We have all these other ones that are on the market, including other ones that I'm sure in the pipeline to replace glyphosate. Now that glyphosate is pretty much, this will single-handedly bankrupt the glyphosate product as a name, as a whole, as Roundup. It'll be done. They're not going to be able to bring it out anymore. Once all these class action lawsuits start hitting the system, it's going to be so much cheaper to take the product off the market completely and say, hey, look, it's not on the market. It doesn't exist. We're not using it. The problem is now they have engineered so many GMO foods based around glyphosate now, it is significantly going to change the way that they have to engineer these crops, and they're going to have to turn around and completely change what these plants are able to take as far as herbicides now and what will not kill them. So really, really incredible. I'm glad this happened. Also, too, in other news, I wanted to touch base on this real quick because Paul Craig Roberts wrote a really good article, said it's like a Western movie, a showdown in the making. Remember yesterday I told you guys about the United States and Trump pulling out of the intermediate, basically nuclear treaty that they are placed into, the intermediate range nuclear force treaty. I told you guys there's something bigger going on right here. Paul Craig Roberts was actually involved in the Reagan administration during this time, and he said it's taken the U.S. military industrial complex 31 years to finally get rid of President Reagan's last nuclear disarmament achievement, the INF treaty that Reagan and Gorbachev achieved in 87. He said the treaty achieved was to make Europe safe from nuclear attack by Soviet short and intermediate range missiles, and to make the Soviet Union safe from U.S. attack from short and intermediate range U.S. nuclear missiles in Europe. By restricting nuclear missiles to ICBMs, which allowed more warning time, thus generating retaliation and non-use of nuclear weapons. President Reagan's aim was to bring the Cold War to an end, with the result, in his words, those god-awful nuclear weapons would be dismantled. The INF Treaty was chosen as a first start because it did not substantially threaten the budget of the United States military security industrial complex and actually increased the security of the Soviet military. In other words, it was something that Reagan Reagan and Gorbachev could get past their own military establishments. Now that Reagan's remaining achievement has been destroyed, what are the consequences of the Trump administration's concession to the profits of the U.S. military-industrial complex? There are many and none are good. The massive U.S. military security complex profits will increase substantially now, as scarce American resources flow into the production of all new intermediate-range missiles in order to counter the new Russian threat, he puts in parentheses. The Zionist neoconservatives now have their hope rekindled of establishing an American-Israeli bond with an undetected first-strike nuclear cruise missile attack on Russia at any given time if they choose to do so. Washington doing everything it can possibly do to damage the Russian economy and to draw Russian resources off from economic and infrastructure needs to military spending. Kudrin and the West supporting elements of the Russian media will, with their demands to accommodate Washington, encourage Washington to put yet more pressure on Russia with the intention of forcing Russia into a vassal state with the Germans, Brits, French, rest of Europe, along with Canada, Australia, and Japan. So as we see now, as I told you guys yesterday, this whole stunt that we pulled now, pulling out of this, is now going to not only massively increase the military-industrial complex, it's now going to be another thing that they can use against Russia to force them into submission to follow the New World Order, which Putin has blatantly said he is not in support of. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on that from an article Paul Craig Roberts wrote. I thought he wrote that really well. He had a lot of information and research in that because he was involved in it, Deb.
No, I saw that article this morning. In fact, I sent it to Steve Quayle, and Steve Quayle posted it on his website. It's a big article because of who Paul Craig Roberts is. Also, yeah. On October 22nd, 23rd, Trump has withdrawn the U.S. from the third oldest international organization. The foreign policy of Donald Trump took a turn towards greater international isolationism for the U.S. when the White House announced that the United States was going to withdraw from the 144-year-old Universal Postal Union Treaty, the world's third oldest international organization, the EUPOU, which was established by the General Postal Union of the Treaty of Bern of 1874, coordinates postal policies among its member nations. It was President Ulysses S. Grant, goes back a long way, who signed onto the Treaty of Bern and sent U.S. delegates to the founding Universal Postal Congress in the Swiss city, where the UPU headquarters remains to this day. Basically, there are many, many, many members of this, and what this allows us to do is to use United States postage to mail to other countries, and pretty much that's going to be changed. Now, Trump's reasoning for doing that was to stop China from mailing things using that loophole into the United States from China for, like, you order something from China, and you look at the postage, and it's 50 cents, and you're like, how in the heck did they send it from China for 50 cents or 29 cents or 39 cents? So they've massively abused the United States on Amazon and ordering international parcels and packages by having the government subsidize the shipping. And Trump wanted to stop that, so he kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. He may not have had a choice on this, though. It may have been one of those take it all or leave it all. So I'm personally waiting to see how this affects us, because we have a lot of you guys are international customers, and we ship priority mail globally all over the world, and we just need to make sure that this is going to be something that's going to be able to be something that's going to be beneficial to us. And if not, we're going to have to deal with the blowback from all of this. So I'm not really sure what to do with this particular thing that he's done, but Ulysses S. Grant, it's a long ways back. So again, we'll see what happens and how this shakes out. We'll keep you guys posted, but I'm personally glad he's doing something with China to stop this unbelievably subsidized postages. And we've talked about this many, many times on the show about how Amazon gets this stuff shipped out of China for next to nothing, and we, the American population, subsidizes all of that. Austin, what's the 800 number we want folks to call in on today?
The 1-800 number here for everybody is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. And again, guys, thank you so much for calling in. We're about to start live call-ins here in a second. And just please be aware, we have a lot of call-ins right now. I'm looking at the Comrex right now, and it is lit up like a Christmas tree. Everybody's calling in, which is awesome. But please keep the phone calls as short and concise as possible, with obviously, us and you being able to get your information out. So just wanted time to make sure I remind everybody of that. The first call-in we have right now is James out of California. James, you are live on air at the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Love you guys, and thanks for taking my call. My dad is a Vietnam veteran. He's in his 70s, and he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He has a softball-sized tumor on his pancreas. Doctors want to remove his pancreas and his spleen, fearing it's going to spread. What can you do naturally to fend that off, to fight that off, and possibly not do surgery?
Well, there are all kinds of natural things you can do from a cancer treatment standpoint, but really, you know, we don't talk about that on the air. We just don't do that. We don't treat, work with cancer patients. We don't have a clinic any longer, but I can tell you what a friend of mine did working with a clinic out in Denver. I can tell you the protocol that she was on when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And what she did was this. She started on turmeric. The doctor either put her on turmeric, about 12 of our capsules three times a day. He also gave her vitamin C intravenously, like twice a week, 50,000 IUs. In addition to that, she went on potassium iodine at least 12.5 milligrams per day. And she went on vitamin D3. The D3 levels need to be maintained at around 70 to 80. But you need to make sure you're doing this through your medical doctor, wherever your dad is in California, wherever he may be. And that will be the first thing that you will start with. And, of course, all the other antioxidants are good. You know, the selenium, the A, the C, the E, and plus a good B complex. And I would also use the multiple powdered vitamin. But the turmeric is like throwing a wet blanket on cancer. And it's amazing what it does. It's amazing what it does. But you have to take the dosing way high. It's like 12, three times a day. And then, of course, the D3, you have to go ahead and raise it high enough to get your levels to about 80. So this is a really good approach. Katie used that. She's got her doctor out there in Colorado who put her on that particular protocol. She shared it with me, and it worked very, very well. She had breast cancer, which is not pancreatic cancer, and she was completely recovered from that within 6 months. Pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, and brain cancer are the three really, really tough ones. Plus, what's your dad's name, James?
Anthony.
Anthony, let me pray for him right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Anthony, Lord. I pray that he has a complete and total restorative healing from you, Lord. I pray that in all ways and at all times he can bring honor and glory to you, Father, and he can use this as an example when he's completely and totally healed, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for curing him and being with him, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. James, thanks for the call,
Amen.
Bud.
All right, that was great. Susan, we have a Susan calling in from Maine. Susan, you are live. What's your question?
My husband has amyloidosis cardiac in his heart. We just talked about the cancer protocol, but I was wondering, and we've actually done some of this from the Health Master site. He's had his own stem cells transplanted and actually doing fairly well. He did have chemo, trying to boost his immune system up, but his heart's stiff from the amyloid in it, and he is on some cardiac meds.
I would do the same protocol that James just did if it was me, if I was working with it, if you were the doctor. And you can verify all this with all the doctors you work with. You just make sure you pass it all through them, make sure you have a medical doctor who reviews everything for you. But I would do the same basic thing. Plus, I'd make sure he was on CoQ10. I'd make sure that he was on our magnesium brain food. I would make sure he's on vitamin C and the vitamin C intravenously. Try all of those mm-hmm. different things, Susan. And again, I will continue to pray for that your husband gets through all of this. And thank you so much for your phone call.
Thanks.
All right, we have a Stacy on the line. Let's see here. Stacy from Ohio, you are live.
Hi, Ted and Austin. Thanks
hey,
for
Stacy.
Having me. Hi. I'm calling about statins, and I've been listening to your show for about a year. My husband asked me to listen to you guys. About 8 years ago, I had a heart attack. I had no risk factors and ended up with a double bypass. I healed quickly, thank God, and I give him all the glory. But since that time, every doctor I've seen, every cardiologist, every family doctor, they really push the statins, even though my cholesterol is not and never was high. They also pushed the aspirin. I was on blood thinners, but they said I should take the statins and the aspirin for the rest of my life. And about a month ago, I just kind of took a step of faith and I went off of both of those. And those were the only two prescriptions that I was still on. And I was calling to find out what types of supplements are best to replace those.
What I would do, if it was me, since you've already decided to come off of the statins yourself against your medical advice, that's your decision, your choice.
Yes.
What I would do, I'd make sure I was taking coenzyme Q10, at least 800 IUs or to 1200 IUs of a vitamin E a day, and that really helps keep the blood thin, along with cod liver oil, at least two tablespoons of that a day, plus the magnesium brain food. Well, they don't tell you, and you have to understand, these guys are trained to believe that the statin drugs are a panacea for heart disease. They're not looking at the inflammatory problem with heart disease. They're looking at the cholesterol theory, which has been proven wrong. Your cholesterol is a lubricant. It needs to be high in your blood, at least 200 to 250 as far as I'm concerned. They don't see it that way. You didn't get heart disease because you had too much cholesterol. Now, you may have gotten heart disease because you were eating hydrogenated oils, trans fats, that's a possibility. You may have gotten heart disease because you're eating too much sugar and too many sweets, which can cause inflammation. That's a possibility. But I would definitely make sure you use Sharon's cookbook, Eat Clean and Be Healthy, and stay on your CoQ10, stay on your vitamin E, stay on your magnesium brain food, stay on the powdered multiple, stay on the B complex, stay on the D3, stay on the iodine, and just go down the road with this thing. That's how I do it. I mean, I'll be 63 here in a week or so, and that's what I take every single day, because you want to keep that blood thin, and make sure you're drinking enough water too. I mean, we've got our distillers on our website. They work great. Half your body weight in fluid ounces. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you drink 50 ounces of water. If you weigh 150 pounds, you drink 75 ounces of water a day. Make sure it's distilled to reverse osmosis. In fact, here in the RV, I've got a little distiller that we have that we sell, our little countertop model, and it makes a gallon of water about every two, three hours. It's really nice. Especially when it's cool up here, keeps the RV nice and warm. But it really, really is important that you don't drink a bunch of water that has calcium in it. Whenever I clean this distiller up here, because I got well water, I mean, the calcium buildup is getting absolutely awful already in the distiller. And all of that calcium, that's inorganic calcium, that would have accumulated in my coronary arteries and other arteries and joints and soft tissue had I been drinking it. And so it's got to get out of your system, your body. These are metallic minerals that don't really absorb very well as far as being used by the body, and they're stored in soft tissue. And also make sure you're walking, doing some type of cardio exercise, follow the guidelines of your cardiologist as far as how much you can pick up with weights, et cetera, and just go down the road with it. And here's how I look at all of this stuff. You know, this whole telling you can't do this and can't do that, a lot of times that's true right after surgery, but after you get past all the surgery and your body is healed, just do the right kind of lifestyle, do the exercise, eat clean, and forget about it. Set it and forget it, and just take your supplements, eat as best you can, and don't worry about it, because remember, stress itself elevates cortisol. Cortisol elevates heart disease and heart disease rates. So getting all upset about it and being worried about it all the time doesn't help anything. Just follow that protocol. We have a healthy heart program on the website. And thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. So the CoQ10, I guess that was my main question.
Yes.
Is that something that you would suggest?
That's critical. That's why I mentioned that to start with.
Yep.
CoQ10 is very, very important. Having had heart disease, I would take two of those twice a day. And we use the non-crystalline form. We use the really good stuff at Health Master's website. But I'd take two of those twice a day. What do you think, Oz?
Absolutely, Stacy. That's definitely the protocol that I would run with. Also, you can also add the turmeric force in. Turmeric is a really, really good anti-inflammatory. As you guys know, I had pericarditis a couple of years ago, and that's inflammation of the heart. And so that's one product that I take on a regular basis is the CoQ10 with the turmeric force. But Stacy, thank you so much for calling. Jordan, we have Jordan out of Connecticut here. And Jordan, you are live on the air with the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Hi, Ted and Austin. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jordan.
Recently, my wife and I had a baby diagnosed with trisomy 18. He's doing really well, but he's on some diuretics long term. And basically, I was wondering if there's anything natural we can give him.
Well, I'm sorry, you broke up on me. What was your baby diagnosed with?
Oh, sorry about that. It was trisomy 18.
Trisomy 18. Okay. So that's a chromosomal defect.
Yeah, and he's actually doing really well compared to what Yale Hospital told us. would be the outcome. And basically, he's on two diuretics right now for fluid in his lungs. So I was wondering if there's anything natural we can give him instead of the diuretics.
Well, you know, I don't know about this trisomy 18. I'm not familiar with it. I'm going to have to do some research on it, to be honest with you, before I start giving you information on what to do with the baby. At this point in time, that's one of those questions that I got to look back and take a look at. Let me give you some stuff that says online here. I just looked it up for you. It basically is symptoms. I'm looking that up right now, what it's saying. How old is the baby now?
So he's about 8 months now, and he has, like, pretty much none of the defects they told us he would have. So they said, like, there was a 99% chance he would basically not be alive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been growing normally. He does pretty much everything a normal baby would do. I mean, he can already...
Now, is your wife breastfeeding?
She is breastfeeding him. And
okay, then here, follow our prenatal nutritional protocol for her. And her breastfeeding protocol. We have that available at the office as far as the supplements she needs to take, because you really can't give him anything if he's that young still. It's just not, it's not the best way to do it. It's better to have your wife take it and get it through her system first and then give him the highest nutrition available. I would also give him the powdered vitamins. I'd give him the cod liver oil. Give her the powdered multiple, the cod liver oil, the B complex, the vitamin C, the D3, and let his body choose what it wants to do. But as far as any type of direct intervention with that, dude, I'm sorry. I just don't know.
Okay, well, I really appreciate the advice on that. I will definitely make sure to give her those nutrients and whatnot. And, yeah, it's much appreciated.
Well, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Jordan. All right, Debbie. We have Debbie out of Oklahoma. Debbie, you are live on the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Hi, Ted and Austin. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a massage therapist, and I have two clients that I'm working with. One has cystic fibrosis, and she's actually 40 years old. And my other one is a stroke victim on several medications, including aspirin and statin drugs. And so I'm trying to help them transition to more natural approaches.
Okay, are you this is like a third party consult. It's very difficult to do that because it's just there's all kinds of natural things you can do for cystic fibrosis, and of course stroke stuff, that would be the same thing. You'd want to go ahead and increase oxygen flow, and that's the same thing you do on the Healthy Heart program. Cystic fibrosis, there's several natural treatments you can do for that, and so what I would do is I'd advise her to go ahead and do that the best she possibly can. Let me go ahead and give you that. Number one, you have to really good early diagnosis and care. You know that. I'm sure she's already doing that. You have to do dietary intervention to help prevent deficiencies, and that's the general overall health program that we use as far as with the supplements. She's going to need extra vitamin K, D, A, E. She also may need to add more salt to their diet to prevent dehydration, and make sure if you do that, use the Redmond salt. The omega-3 fatty acids are very beneficial for lowering inflammation, and along with the turmeric. Pancreatic enzymes are also commonly given to help digest food and calories better. That's our digestive enzymes. You need high-quality multiple vitamins. I'd use the powdered multiples and antioxidants that can help prevent inflation. Also, you need to be taking probiotics. That's really, really, really important that she takes the probiotics. I would put her on the 350 billion, and I would give her that every single day. She can also do proper lung function, breathing, physical therapy. You know all that. You can give her all that information. But make sure she starts on a really healthy program. If she doesn't want to try all of those supplements, have her just use the multiple vitamin powder. That's something that she should feel a difference on within 30 days, and then you can try to work with her and try to, help her to get more supplements in her system to increase the body's ability to handle the cystic fibrosis. As far as recovering from the stroke, you got to look at blood flow. You got to look at vitamin E. You got to look at turmeric. You got to look at coenzyme Q10. You've got to look at exercise. You've got to look at physical therapy. A lot of different things that you need to do for a stroke victim. But again, a lot of this stuff, again, they need to make sure they clear it through their medical doctors, especially with these third-party consults.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's very helpful. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
David out of Virginia. David, we have you on air right now. How are you doing, David? David, can you hear me?
All right, go to the next call, Oz.
All right. Looks like here. All right, and we have Dave out of Pennsylvania. You were live on the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, good. Ted and Austin, good to talk to you, brothers.
Hey, good to talk to you, brother. I appreciate you.
Hey, my question today is regarding my wife. The doctors have quote-unquote diagnosed her with fibromyalgia. I'm just wondering what sort of things would be able to work out for her. Right now I've got her on the multiple powder, B-complex, turmeric, all of that. And I just wonder if there's anything else that would help her out.
Go ahead, Oz.
Yeah, fibromyalgia, I mean, you need to make sure you're also reducing inflammation overall through the body, and you also are getting a lot of very healthy fats in the body. That's really important. Make sure she's taking cod liver oil. You can also increase natural fats as far as in cooking with, say, like avocado oil, coconut oil, so forth. And, of course, again, I talk about it a lot, but the turmeric force is really, really important for the inflammation in the body. So, I mean, those are some of the key things that you could go with. How long has she been dealing with this for?
It's been a few years. It's been about 3 years. And they're like, like a Lyrica commercial in there. And, I'm just done with that.
Well, let me tell you one story that we had. We had a girl who worked for us as a nanny years ago when she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And she started staying at our house all the time, basically watching the kids for us. And she started eating our diet, eating the organic food, taking supplements and all the other things. And all of a sudden, like about 2 months later, she was like off all of her meds and she was no longer being diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And we got about 6 million Americans who suffer from these things. About 90% of the fibromyalgia sufferers are women. And it's bad with the, because they can really struggle, side effects.
Absolutely.
Fatigue,
absolutely.
Headaches, memory issues, sleep disorders, cramping in the lower abdominal area, tender joints, chronic pain, depression, anxiety, and brain fog. And there's just a lot of supplements that you can take and a lot of things you can do with all of this stuff. And so, what we can do is, you have to look at the genetics, allergies, food sensitivities, viruses, hormone imbalances, poor digestion, candida.
D. Also, too, have you had her vitamin D levels checked?
She just had some blood work done, but I haven't got the numbers. I'd like to know what I should be looking for.
Yeah, make sure they're checking vitamin D. Most doctors don't check vitamin D for some odd reason, even though that's a serious deficiency in the United States now. Vitamin D deficiency, from most of my notes that I've talked to a lot of customers, the fibromyalgia is usually associated with low vitamin D. So make sure they check it. If they didn't, make sure you get that also checked. And also you can add in the magnesium brain food. The name of that sounds a lot of times like it's just for the brain. It is really good for the brain, but magnesium deficiency can also play a crucial role in fibromyalgia. So those two I wanted to add back in there on top of that. But the vitamin D is crucial that you get that checked and you see actually what her true vitamin D blood levels are.
Yeah, but also make sure if she can get her on a good L-carnitine supplement and the magnesium, fish oil, turmeric, like Austin mentioned earlier, vitamin D3. This is that's so important. I mean, deficiency of D is associated with chronic pain. One small study found that the control group that received vitamin D supplementation experienced a marked reduction in pain almost immediately. Ashwagandha, which is our cortisol buster, that's a great product to use. And 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, that really helps too. You need to be doing regular exercise. You got to be stretching, massage therapy. Essential oils are good too. Get some sunshine. It's very, very important to understand that a lot of these things are because of lifestyle choices and also because of basically the foods that we eat are so contaminated now with glyphosate. We've got to go to organic, but I hope that answers your questions.
For sure. It helps me out, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you, bud.
What you're doing. Take care.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. All right. Let's see here. We have what's going on? Hold on one second here. Give me one second. My Comrex is getting a little having an issue with me.
It's probably gone berserk because of all the phone calls. Guys, I want you guys to know how much we appreciate you. Let's jump on a digestion issue for a thing right quick if we can. One of the biggest problems with poor digestion and nutrient absorption has been found to be low acid levels, and digestive enzymes are very, very important to do that. digestive enzyme deficiencies lead to nutrient malabsorption. You have to have the ability to break down your food to get the nutrients, and you can alleviate symptoms many times with supplemental enzymes. In addition to that, we have that one product called Living Fuel that works great, and it really helped me as far as getting rid of digestion issues, and it has been absolutely wonderful. Another study just came out talking about the HPV vaccine, and it says in Illinois, a 14-year-old, now another 14-year-old has died 3 weeks after the HPV vaccine. Controversy about the HPV vaccine has circulated almost since its release. Drugs like Gardasil have been associated with serious permanent health problems, in some cases even death. Now the recent death of a young man from HPV-related vaccine basically is adding the list of vaccine side effects and tragedies. This is the young boy who died. Christopher Bunch of Mon, Illinois, age 14, died on August the 14th. His death was caused supposedly from complications from acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, a rare neurological disease. The teenager from Olean, Illinois, began experiencing these symptoms about a week earlier, including nausea, vomiting, and persistent headaches after the HPV vaccine was given to him. You got your Comrex back up yet, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. That vaccine's horrific. But, yes, I just got the Comrex rebooted, and I have Mary from South Dakota. Mary, you are live on the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, Ted and Austin. I have been listening to you guys for a while now and have tried to get myself on a protocol of supplements. I'm about 70 years old and trying to break out of old patterns, and I don't seem to be perking up as quickly as I had hoped for, and I'm realizing one thing I do not hear discussed. For those of us who have had our gallbladder removed, how our body is processing the love food, but the supplements and everything, and is there something different? We should be doing something if we no longer have a gallbladder.
A gallbladder removal, but thanks for the call. Gallbladder removal is one of those things that I personally think should be a last-ditch effort. There's all kinds of gallbladder cleanses that are available online to help clear gallstones out of the gallbladder using an apple juice fast. But if you have had your gallbladder removed, you really need to be on supplemental pancreatic enzymes and also different types of enzymes. I recommend doing those with your meals every time you eat. Very, very, very important. See, the gallbladder, it releases the bile from the liver, from the gallbladder right into the small intestine where it comes out of the stomach, helps to neutralize the acidity coming out of the stomach. And it's a real problem, especially in the digestive fast, when you don't have that available to you. So you have to make sure that you have good digestive enzymes in your diet if you've had your gallbladder removed, and you need to try to avoid losing your pancreas and losing your gallbladder, losing your appendix. I mean, when you start messing with the pancreas, you start really having some serious issues with people, and then they end up with pancreatic transplants, which are actually more effective than I thought they would ever be for people that have had pancreatic cancer. But yes, the main thing to do when you have gallbladder is make sure you take digestive enzymes. Austin, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, to keep it simplistic, are you on any of our products already, Mary?
I am. I'm using your multiple vitamins and your vitamin C and the B complex and D and some of the CoQ10. So I've tried to get on some basics and see how I felt with the intention of tweaking it as things went along. But
are you taking the D3, K2?
I'm taking the 5,000 a day D3, and then a couple times a week I'm taking the D3K2.
Okay. Go ahead and make sure you take a potassium iodine, too. That's really, really important for the thyroid. But remember, you're 70 years old, and you're now trying to tweak your diet and get better. So it's going to take a little bit longer just from a health standpoint to rebuild your reserve energy. So I congratulate you for doing what you're doing. Keep it up, and keep us posted on your progress. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, and we have Joy out of Wyoming here. Let's see. Joy, you are live on the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Hi, guys. So good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Joy.
I just want to say how much I enjoy your shows. I really do, whether it's your show or when you're on the Hag Bunch. You guys are great. I never miss you if I can.
Oh, Joy, thank you so much. That's so nice. That's so kind of you.
Anyway, I have a question about a condition that I have on my ear. Doctors used to think it was a melanoma, but I've done research since after they cut on it three times and didn't get rid of it, and it still kept coming back. I think that it might be anaphylaxis without the mucosal contact, and I was wondering if you've had any experience with that and maybe suggest something for it, because it is really painful.
No, I'm not, but what I did have a few years ago, I had a cancer spot on my face. It wasn't like a malignancy, but it was bad, and I started using oregano oil, and just a drop, and I put on it like three times a day, and I tell you what, it took care of it. Within a matter of a week, it was completely and totally gone. So anytime you have a skin issue, I would start first with the oregano oil. I've got a friend of mine out in California who absolutely believes in hemp oil. I've tried the hemp oil. It didn't work for me as far as topically, but I know the oregano oil does work. And so I would try that on your ear and see what that does, because I know it's not going to hurt anything, and see if it'll help you ameliorate the symptoms on what's going on.
Okay, that sounds good. I've been using aloe vera fresh from the plant.
That won't do anything. But the oregano oil is pretty amazing. And then again, I had another thing. This is a crazy story. A couple of years ago, I had a doggone. I went to Europe, and all of a sudden, I had this big infection on the end of my nose. It's kind of weird, and it ends up growing into this wart-looking thing. It's like I couldn't even believe it. So I went to the dermatologist. He goes, "Oh, we got to do cosmetic surgery and cut this thing off your nose." I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! We're not doing that. I don't need a big scar on the end of my nose. I do a lot of TV. It's going to look ridiculous." And I put the oregano oil on that three times a day, a drop. And within a week, it just straight fell off, and it never came back. So I really am a big believer of the oregano oil. In fact, also, we need to get a really high-quality oregano oil on our website for people to use topically. And that's something we work on.
We have the liquid dropper one, and we also have the soft gel one. We have both options on the website at Health Masters already right now.
Good, because that's the one I use. I use the dropper one, and you can also take it, by the way, orally. If you're coming down with a cold or something like that, it works absolutely wonderful for that. You stack that with the astragalus, and it pretty much knocks out everything before it gets a hold of you. It really, really works well. Thanks for calling so much.
Hey, wow.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you.
All right, we have Phil from Alabama live on the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Phil, how are you doing, bud?
Doing great. Love the show.
Are we taking any
questions other than health?
Yes, please. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Anything you want to talk about, Phil?
Yeah,
go ahead.
What do you guys think of how Trump is handling the caravan right now?
Trump's between a rock and a hard place with this caravan. If you start shooting Mexicans and Hondurans and El Salvadorians, it's going to look bad for the midterm elections. It's going to look bad for our country. He needs to do something with the border. I personally would just put people on the border and just stop people from coming across. But then if they're in the middle of the desert and they are dying of thirst, and if you don't give them aid while they're still in Mexico, then that's going to come back as big blowback. He's got a really bad situation going on. What do you think he should do?
I think he should go along with enforcing the border as well as he can.
But, yes, I agree.
If he goes against the Republican base, that would be just detrimental. But it just depends on what the deep state ends up, what they have up their sleeve.
Well, yeah, everybody has to understand, and this is what I've been talking to a few people about, Phil, is that the military needs to be at the border. They need to be patrolling it. We already know that we have microwave dish directed energy weapons that are less lethal. The Marine Corps uses those regularly. Those need to be installed at the border. We also have MK-19 belt-fed 40-millimeter launchers, which can be basically loaded with tear gas. They can launch in an effective range of 1,500 meters. Those need to be used on a regular basis at the border. And the aspect of it is live fire, deadly force needs to be the last ditch effort, because I think this is a ploy from the deep state, in my opinion. to try to get one of these Army grunts with an itchy trigger finger on an M240 or other belt-fed with live fire to open up on this caravan. If that were to occur, it would be not only monumentally destructive for the midterms, but you have to remember as well, the UN and any other NATO country would then have an excuse to occupy the United States under humanitarian monitoring positions because of human rights violations that they would say we now executed unarmed migrants at the border without just cause. That would really set up a role for the UN to come into the United States and police the United States along with any other NATO country that felt the need to do so. So this is something that is not an option to me. I've seen some other alternative news medias that have brought this up saying that, you know, we need to use deadly force as soon as we need to. Deadly force needs to be used as an absolute last-ditch effort if the United States military is fired upon with live ammunition. It should never be used as a Border Patrol security, not when we have weapons like CS gas, like the microwave direct-dish energy weapons. We have way too many less lethal technologies, including rubber bullets and beanbag rounds, to be using live-fire lethal ammunition on an unarmed migrant population, regardless if they're storming the border or not. If they're not armed and they're not firing upon you, there's really no legitimate status in the entire eyes of the United States or of the world for us to start executing migrants that are coming across the border. But that's pretty much my take on it.
Unless you're Israel.
Unless you're Israel, yeah.
But, Austin, do we have any more phone calls? We handle them all so far.
Thanks for calling in, Phil. Yes, I have another one ringing in here. Give me 1 second on the Comrex. And, guys, I really appreciate all of the questions on here. Looks like I'm going to end up taking probably one last call. I have a few other ones that are coming in here, but I'm going to take one more to everybody that's still on hold, pretty far backlogged. Thank you for calling in. You know, we're probably going to do this again. This has definitely been pretty popular. But we have one last caller in that we're going to do before we pretty much close out the show. Frank from Ohio, you're our last caller on here. How are you doing, Frank? And welcome to the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Ted and Austin, first I want to say thanks. You guys have just been a total blessing to me and my family and friends.
Well, thank you, Frank. We feel the same way.
Oh, you're welcome. And so I wanted to actually talk to you guys about being able to give back. And something that's really been on my mind is if you guys have some way of setting up some format or something that, you know, people like myself could hand out business cards with your information on it. Because a lot of times I'll talk to people about you guys and about Hagmann. And if I had something I could just hand them and say, hey, listen to this or call this number, I think it would be great. So I didn't know if you guys had anything like that or if that would be something that would interest you.
Well, we could do something like that. By the way, thank you for wanting to support us like that. But the best thing you can do is to get a hyperlink off the show because we send out emails every day with our shows on it and forward that to your entire database. And have them start listening to it that way, because what it allows us to do is to give them a really good show opportunity to listen to, so they know who we are and what we believe. If you give somebody a business card about Health Masters or Ted Dawson Brower, if they've not heard of us, they're not going to have any interest in it. But if you get them to listen to a show or read one of our books or anything, or even just go to the website and let them, so they have some more information on who we are, what we believe in, it easily works better that way. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thank you again, Frank, for the support.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
And what we will do for, you know, our listeners, you know, I've had a few people ask us this. If you want something like our Healthy Country Cooking, the Eat Clean and Be Healthy Cookbook, I've already done this for a few people. That is an incredibly effective book at changing your life from a nutritional standpoint. And you can also put a piece of paper or something in there talking about our show. If you're wanting to give that out for a gift or hand that out to people, I'll be more than happy to discount you that if you want to buy them in, you know, bulk, basically pretty much to cover our cost on that book. I'll be willing to do that for some people that want to do it. The business cards are definitely a plausible option depending on how much demand we have for them. If you guys like that idea, send me an email and I can also look at sending some out or request it when you make a phone phone call when you place an order or on an order comment when you place an order. That's why I have the order comments on the orders now that are visible as soon as they print off. If there's something that you like or you have an idea or you're requesting from us, I do my best to accommodate everybody that calls in. So I'll be more than happy to try to help people out on that manner, because you're absolutely right, Frank. The best thing we can do right now is get this out in the open and a lot of stuff that's going on. So, but again, I really do appreciate the support as far as you wanting to help us out.
Thank you, Frank, so much. Well, Austin, I think this has been absolutely wonderful. One more thing I want to cover with you guys about this march from Guatemala and all of the people. I mean, we've had 100 ISIS terrorists and over 1,000 gangbangers have been caught in Guatemala as the migrant caravan of military-aged males marches to the United States. This is like a standing army. Guatemala's president, Jimmy Morales, announced this week the Central American country apprehended almost 100 ISIS terrorists in addition to capturing more than 1,000 gangbangers, including members of the vicious MS-13 gang, just as the caravan of migrants is pushing its way to the U.S. border. The caravan is full of military-aged males, despite the media constantly showing pictures and video clips of children and crying babies and women. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that we have coming across the border. I like the active denial systems that Austin's talking about, the microwave energy discs, because they're using them against us. They might as well use them against the people trying to come into the country.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if they set those up in 100-meter segments all the way across the area for 20 or 30 miles and they can't cross them, they won't even get close to the borders. They'll basically get close to that and they'll step away from it and say, we can't go into there. And that way they don't have to deal with them coming across the Mexican border into our country and trying to get them back out of our country. But again, the problem runs into, this is like a horrible scenario, that you have people coming in who are dehydrated, starving to death, children, parasites, sicknesses, diseases, and now you're leaving them out there in the desert, I mean, or wherever they're coming across. It can be a major, major. This is a huge Soros PR nightmare before the midterm elections. I mean, this is a major, major, major problem. The FBI now is raiding the Puerto Rican government offices on accusation of corruptions. I think this is hilarious. We have one of the most corrupt administrations in the history of the world right now in Washington, D.C., you know, that's been left over through all the bureaucrats. And now San Juan, Puerto Rico, the FBI has raided the local government's offices in an investigation into fraud involving the city's purchasing division and a $4.7 million deal with the construction company BR Solutions. An anonymous tipster alleged that BR Solutions received overpayments and may have given kickbacks through political campaign donations. I mean, this is so minor to me, Austin, that they're doing this and they're trying to push this from the FBI now into Puerto Rico. Hey, FBI, here's a newsflash. Why don't you go in and clean up your own mess, clean up your own Mueller investigation, clean up all of the stuff that you guys are doing and all the insider stuff that you guys are involved with, and leave Puerto Rico alone. They're already in enough trouble as it is without having power in their country and having a hurricane intentionally, in my opinion, parked over them to churn up for a little bit, just to show to them that the basic IMF will not tolerate them not paying back their billions and billions of dollars in loans, and they don't want to be an indentured servitude, but they're being shown now that they're basically the slaves and that the masters are coming in to take over the plantation. What a mess, Austin. What do you think?
It is. I mean, it's not like they didn't just have their whole island wiped out a year ago from a devastating hurricane. It's a joke. Why don't the FBI start doing criminal investigations into Hillary and the Clinton Foundation? I mean,
that's
there's
right.
So many other pertinent things going on right now with so much corruption. Why does the FBI start looking into all the child trafficking slave rings that we have running in and out of the United States, including out of the southern border and out of California, out in Hollywood hell out there? Why don't they look at this stuff? You know what I mean? But we're going to sit there and, oh, a couple $1 million that may have been misused from grants and subsidies for housing things in Puerto Rico. It's a joke, man. This is a smokescreen. Puerto Rico didn't want to pay their bill that basically they defaulted on the United States. The United States basically made a, and when I say United States, really what I mean is the global Rothschild bankers. That's really who runs the show. You guys already know that. The Federal Reserve Bank runs the United States. They dictate policy all across the globe. And essentially, until we get the Federal Reserve out of control of our monetary supply, nothing's going to change for long term. And that's one aspect that I think a lot of people fail to understand. There's a lot of things we can do, and there's a lot of things we can continue to push to do. But when it comes down to brass tacks, at the end of the day, we have to expose these guys for the Sabbatean, satanic individuals of what they are, and the money laundering and all the different money magic that they do with our dollar. That's simply what it is. But this is something else going on. There's absolutely no reason to pull a stunt like that in Puerto Rico right now, Dad.
Guys, thank you so much. Wow, what a fast show. That was really fast. I mean, gosh, a lot of phone calls. Sorry we didn't get to all of your phone calls. I know we had a plethora of phone calls still on the board. We'll try to do this again next Tuesday. And, guys, thank you. I love you. I get to pray for you every day. I have the privilege of doing that. You guys are awesome. Man, we got smart listeners, too. Boy, they're asking really good questions today. So God bless you. Thank you so much for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for forwarding these shows. Thank you for being part of the solution. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, really, we do thank everybody for calling in today. From the feedback that I've gotten and from the emails already, we'll definitely probably start doing this every Tuesday now. I really want to try to connect with our listeners the best we can, and the more we do it, the more chance everybody's going to get a chance to call in. And, you know, next time we'll probably do questions on everything. You know, we sent an email out yesterday to our email list and basically said we were going to answer health questions. Obviously, we have a whole range of different things we talk about on the show. So we're probably just going to open up the board now and let everybody, you know, bring your questions as long as they're appropriate for the show that we have. You know, keep them PG or PG-13 rated for the show. And we really appreciate the support and the feedback. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to help you guys, to bring you guys the highest quality supplements. Of course, if you need anything, be sure to check out our website at healthmasters.com. We have lots of different products on there all the time, including the digestive enzymes and the gastrogest support. Those are really good for healthy digestion, as Dad was talking about earlier. I even take those regularly, even when I eat a lot of meat, just because it really helps the body break it down, digest it. And from also, too, from a trainer exercising standpoint, the more food you can break down and efficiently absorb, the better you can recover from your workouts. And a lot of people fail to realize that, as they just think, well, if I eat all this or I eat all that, you can only use what you absorb and what you break down. If you're eating food and you're only absorbing 10% of what you eat, that's an issue. And that's where the digestive nutrients come in and really help out with breaking down your food and helping you to be able to positively absorb them on a very, very efficient manner. So be sure to check those out on the website. The Excellent C is on sales product of the week. It will be ending tonight as product of the week for 10% off. It looks like the B Complex will be winning by probably a landslide tomorrow. That's one of our top products, our B vitamins, bioavailable B active vitamins. Really, really popular products as well. Will be going on sale tomorrow. I may look at some of the inventory that we have. I know I got a huge batch coming in this week. I may do a pretty big sale for you guys on that tomorrow, because I know everybody loves that, including myself. So be sure to check the product of the week tomorrow, as that's probably going to win, more than likely. If you guys need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. Again, thank you for your calls today. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.